We'll hear arguments first this morning in State of Colorado against the State of New Mexico. Mr. Sims, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. The question before the Court is whether Colorado has met the burden of establishing a basis in fact which would warrant an award of water for a future use in Colorado on a river that's been fully appropriated and used in New Mexico. The Master's report before the Court simply adopts Colorado's case. Colorado's case, however, does not begin to meet the standard of preponderance in ordinary civil actions, much less the standard of clear and convincing evidence in original actions between states. The Master has recommended an award of 4,000 acre feet. The bottom line of that recommendation is his conclusion that there would be no injury in New Mexico. That conclusion depends upon three interdependent factual predicates. The first of those is that the acreage in New Mexico must be cut in half. That is, the acreage that New Mexico users are ready, willing, and able to irrigate must be cut in half. As part of that predicate, the Canadian River users of Vermejo water must not even be considered by the Court. The reduced acreage on the main stem of the Vermejo in the 1970s must not have been caused by water shortage. The New Mexico water users must not have been diligent, and the Court will therefore protect only 5,300 acres in New Mexico instead of 9,100 acres. Secondly, and additionally, there must be in New Mexico reasonable conservation measures which would effectively manufacture or make available or augment the supply by 4,000 acre feet at the diversion points in Colorado. And thirdly, and again additionally, the future use and the benefits that would derive therefrom must be reasonably certain and comparatively unquestionable. All three of these factual predicates are essential to the Master's report. If one of those predicates fails, Colorado's case fails and the Master's report fails. We believe the case fails on all three predicates. The bottom line, I believe, in this case generally is that there simply is not enough water in the Vermejo River to make it possible to make an award to Colorado for a future use. In the Court's first decision in this case, the Court indicated two ways in which it might be possible to apportion water. First, augmentation of supply in two ways, either through water conservation or through the effective forfeiture of water rights not diligently exercised. Secondly, the Court indicated that through a balancing of benefit to the future use in Colorado against detriment to the cessation of the existing uses in New Mexico, an award might be made to Colorado.
Mr. Sims, on the first point and the way in which water can be augmented, how can New Mexico legitimately claim that non-use over a 30-year period it never becomes, in effect, an abandonment of the use of a certain portion of the water? Is it your position that New Mexico can never, by non-use, lose the right to use the water?
Not at all. And I think the Court's first instruction to the Master in the first area of evidence taking suggests the answer to the question, Justice O'Connor. The Court said that to determine the existing uses, you must look at present levels of use and balance, on the one hand, shortage of water against the possible inference, on the other hand, of lack of diligence on the part of the water users. We presented the evidence. Colorado did not present the evidence to do that. New Mexico did present the evidence to do it. That evidence indicates that, well, for the Bermejo Conservancy District as an example, and I presume that they are the users to whom you are referring, in there, after the district was rehabilitated in 1955, there was a 10-year development period. That did not end until 1965. In an ordinary reclamation project, you would not expect the water users during that period to have developed their water rights. They are given that period of time within which to do it. Right after that, as the evidence shows, the water supply dropped off substantially. The way in which you instructed the master to provide the factual information to the court is the same way a water right entitlement is adjudicated in most every Western state. They will look at historic use, an adjudication court will, and balance on the one hand times of shortage so that non-use might be excused, and on the other hand, the possible lack of diligence. Here you can make no inference of lack of diligence out of the contractual development period. And once that stopped, once that was over, there's a drought on the river. Consequently, while the water users are still ready, willing, and able to use the water supply simply is not there. Now,
Mr. Sensible, let me interrupt, if I may, for a moment. The master, in dealing with the finding of drought, says New Mexico claims that the non-use on the part of the district is called by the drought, caused by the drought of the early 70s. However, the drought of the 1970s cannot be responsible for the non-use which has existed in the district since its formation in the 50s. Non-use through a time period when all the other users and evidence from flow tables found sufficient water available. So he's finding that for a substantial period before what you say was the drought.
Early in the 50s, see, the Bermejo Conservancy District was rehabilitated. That was finished in 1955. Prior to then, there was a much larger irrigation project, nearly twice as many acres. It was all torn apart. The canals were rebuilt. Some reservoirs were taken out. New reservoirs were put in. New lands were leveled or were to be leveled. The whole place was rearranged. So in 1955, there began a 10-year period within which to develop up to the potential of the district. Actually, it was 7 years, was later amended, became 10. At the end of that development period is when the drought years began. The problem with the master's assessment, the master says he looks at the flow records or the flow charts. What he does is look at Table 2 in his second report to you. We invite the court to look at Table 2. Table 2 is the average discharge for every month of every year from 1916 until now. The master looks at that, but he doesn't do anything else. He doesn't compare those figures with anything. That is the end of the master's analysis. That is the beginning of New Mexico's analysis. What you have to do is take those figures and do a water accounting down the river below the Dawson Gauge where he gets the figures. You have to add accretions, subtract depletions, and carry those figures, carry that water supply down to the farmer's land in order to find out how much water is available on the land. If, for example, you looked at the year 1950, and the master has told the court he finds no time of material deficiency or intermittent supply by looking at those figures. But look at 1950 in his chart. If you add up the discharge for the year, you'll find the first figure in New Mexico's Exhibit F-29. That figure is 4,800 acre feet. If you do a water budget and take that down the river to the land, you end up with 1,600 acre feet. The master says that is sufficient, or he is explaining to the court that that is sufficient to irrigate 7,380 acres. We believe that is patently incorrect. If you were to do it for the year 1951, you would end up with nothing on the farms. If you were to do it for 1956, you would end up with nothing on the farms. Then there were some good years following 1955. The problem there, though, was the development of the district. Once the district development period was over, you get back into drought years. And if you follow through on Exhibit F-29 and do this water budget accounting, which Colorado never provided and the master never did, you'll find out that the river is very, very short in the 70s. The evidence in that regard is overwhelming. It's the bulk of the evidence in the record. If you were to compare the monthly USGS flows to demand from 1916 to now, that supports New Mexico. The Bureau of Reclamation testified in this case, including its regional director and its area engineer. Both are personally familiar with the operation of the Bermejo Conservancy District. They testified to the shortages. Their testimony is unimpeached. Indeed, in this regard, it wasn't even cross-examined. The water users, all of them, testified to this shortage.
Mr. Sims, can I ask a question about one of the master's findings? He refers to a man named Porter on page 7 of the finding, who was an individual user, as I understand it, downstream of the district. And he got substantially all his water, as I understand what the master found, and didn't complain that he got 85%, I think. The difference he didn't get was attributable to shortage. If he could get anything at all, doesn't it follow inexorably that the district itself must have gotten all it needed?
No, it does not follow at all. Mr. Porter is one of a number of users, Justice Stevens, who uses, he's not a member of the Vermejo Conservancy District.
No, he's downstream.
He utilizes.
He's junior to them, is he not? His rights are junior to theirs.
That's correct. But he utilizes their works in order to take water. He takes his water out of their works. A comparison of the same flow records at the Dawson Gauge that I just mentioned in our exhibit number F-29 will reveal the same thing with respect to Mr. Porter as it does to the Vermejo Conservancy District. There simply is a shortage that averages 6,600 acre-feet per year between 1955 and 1979. That figure is corroborated by Colorado's own exhibits. There are exhibits numbers 37, 38, 43, 45, 46.
Let me cut through it, because I don't have the facts nearly as well in mind as you do. Is it correct that he got all the water he needed?
He may have gotten all of the water he needed during that period of time.
That's correct. And is it correct that his rights are junior to the district's rights?
I think the question perhaps you're asking, Justice Stevens, is whether or not he should have called priority somehow. He was not in a position to call priority.
No, I mean, if he got all the water he needed, could someone who had senior rights to his have preempted his water?
That is true.
And including the district could have done so.
The district might have done so. But if the district were to call its priority and take the water rights of somebody junior to it, you end up with the same net shortage. You have to reduce the amount that would have gone to somebody else, and then that amount is given to the district. In terms of the New Mexico users in general, the same figure, 6,600 acre-feet short, is still true. There is much more evidence in the record in this regard. Three New Mexico engineers testified to the shortage. The Fish and Wildlife Service, the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, testified to the shortage.
Well, Mr. Sims, how valid are these points now? I can see you arguing to the master that this testimony supports such and such a finding, but the master has rejected a lot of testimony by his findings, and we don't review that de novo to decide what. He's free to disbelieve any witness he wants to, as I understand it.
I think he is free to disbelieve any witness he wants to, but it is awfully difficult for me to believe that there was any issue of credibility in this case. There was none. I think that issue is now trying to be injected in this case in order to pump up the weight that is to be given to the master's report. But I find it difficult to distrust the testimony of the Bureau of Reclamation. I find it difficult to distrust the unimpeachable evidence of the USGS. I find it difficult to distrust the testimony of all of these people. The reason the master did what he did was because he never looked at demand. He simply stopped on the supply side. He looked at that table and he just surmised, well, it seems to me there's enough water there for everybody. Had he compared that to the demand, he could not have thought all of those people were not telling the truth to the court. Similarly, when Congress passed legislation just a few years ago to relieve the repayment obligation of the Vermejo Conservancy District, that was done upon a congressional finding of the very water shortage that the master says doesn't exist. Now, we find it hard also to believe that Congress was duped. The second area, or second way in which the court can apportion water, according to the master in the first decision, is through conservation. And the court has indicated in its first decision that there also the burden has shifted to Colorado to prove by clear and convincing evidence that there are reasonable conservation measures available in New Mexico which would make 4,000 acre feet at the diversion points in Colorado. We submit there is not any evidence of any particular conservation measure in the record, nor is there any discussion, nor any evidence put on by Colorado of the economic and physical feasibility of any given conservation measure. There is no discussion of how much water might be made at the diversion points in Colorado from any given conservation measure.
Going back to the supply side question again, Mr. Sims, for a minute, what did the master do about the peak flows and the floods in his calculations of water availability in the Vermejo? How did he resolve that question?
He bought Colorado's position that all basin discharge is available as a practical matter and divertible by the water users.
Now, is
that is half of his mistake. The other half is he never bothered to compare that gross figure, which is already wrong methodologically, with the demand. So he's patently wrong in two ways.
Well, did his use of the average availability figures, in effect, get used twice, once in the supply figures and once in the excused non-use calculations?
Well, what he did to determine the demand on the river, in effect, was to equate the short supply, that's what you see in his table too, with the acreage that was irrigated with that supply. Now, that kind of logic or that kind of reasoning precludes a determination of water shortage. To know water shortage, you have to know the difference between the supply and the full demand. He refused to look at the full demand. The reason he did that was because Colorado knew in the beginning that the only way they could even argue that there would be no injury to New Mexico in this case is to cut the water uses in half to begin with and leave all of that injury behind. That's what the special master's report recommends to this court. There is nearly 4,000 acres that is just pushed aside to begin with because the master never bothered to look or compare supply and demand.
But the master has found that New Mexico's administration of its water decrees was much looser than Colorado's, and certainly the intimation from those findings is that New Mexico could do a much better job of conserving and make better use of the water that it gets.
The Master Justice Rehnquist did not point to one way in which administration would be able to save water in New Mexico. And I would suggest to you that that, again, was part of the design of Colorado's case, and it was necessitated by the fact that there are no reasonable conservation measures available.
The fact that it's part of Colorado's case doesn't mean it's wrong. I mean, everybody starts with a case that they try to get the finder of fact to adopt, and he's going to go presumably for one or the other. So the fact that he has, and as you say, bought some of your opponent's ideas doesn't make them wrong for that reason.
No, but the master is most definitely wrong because he has not been able to pinpoint how it would work. He hasn't told us how administration would work, nor is there any testimony put on by Colorado about how you can somehow administer this river and get more water. What Colorado did was to put on the testimony of its state engineer and then elicit from our state engineer the fact that there is presently no water master on the Vermejo as a whole. And then argumentatively, in briefs, Colorado tried to explain, as they managed to persuade the master, that some kind of administration would make it possible to conserve water.
You say that for the master's find to mean anything, he should not only find that the New Mexico decree is loosely administered, but be able to point out how a tighter administration would somehow save water.
Most certainly. And first of all, it is not loosely administered. If you were to compare along any one of the lines that Colorado has suggested, if you compare administration in the two states, New Mexico does not come out on the short end of the stick. For instance, in the Vermejo Conservancy District, there is a manager there. There are two ditch riders there. All of the uses and all of the releases are metered and measured. When water is taken out of the reservoirs, everybody knows how much water is taken out of the reservoir. That's all of the farms in the district. That's as much administration as you find anywhere in Colorado. Colorado has tried to suggest that water could be made available if the state engineer came in and administered for forfeiture. Our point is, Colorado put on no evidence, and the master can point to none, indicating any land on the entire Canadian system that is conducive to forfeiture. There is none. There are no rights that are conducive to forfeiture. Also, if you were to compare the two laws in that regard, Colorado urges that theirs is much superior, that there's a list of some 34 rights on the purgatoire that's been prepared to forfeit. Well, if you look and see what happened factually and historically, that list hasn't even gone to adjudication. In New Mexico, nearly 8,000 acres of water right has been judicially forfeited on the Vermejo system. If you compare the reality of the two, there is no discrepancy, then there isn't this looseness in administration. Mr. Chief Justice, I'd like to retain the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
What do you suggest we do?
Justice Marshall, I believe because, number one, the master never compared supply and demand, thus because his finding with respect to lack of diligence on the part of the New Mexico users flies in the face of all of the testimony. Because he is patently wrong, it could be dismissed on that basis. It could be dismissed because Colorado did not meet its burden on putting on any evidence with respect to an economically and physically feasible conservation measure. Both of those problems exist in the master's report. It could be dismissed for lack of having met burden of proof on either of them.
Mr. Wellborn.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, this court, in its opinion in this case, set forth two basic principles or considerations that apply particularly to this case. First, that reasonable conservation measures in one state may offset the effect of a new diversion in another state. Secondly, that benefits in one state may outweigh harm in another state. It is Colorado's position that the special master has found and that the evidence fully supports the conclusion that reasonable conservation measures in New Mexico, in the Vermejo Conservancy District, for example, would and in fact already have offset the effect of a Colorado diversion, and further, that if there should be any residual harm to New Mexico, which Colorado does not believe there would be, that this harm would be outweighed by benefits to Colorado. The conservation measure that has already been completed is one of the most blatant cases of waste that there could be. It results from the district stock water system procedure. That procedure is fully described in our briefs, of course, and in New Mexico's own Exhibit E3. The district released annually over 2,000 acre-feet of water from its reservoirs for the purpose of supplying water for livestock. The livestock consumed about 35 acre-feet of water a year. So as you can see, there was an over a 98% loss of water. This waste continued during the period that the district complained of a water shortage. It has now, as of last year, been eliminated by the installation of a closed stock water system, I should say closed water system, because the main thrust, really, of this new water system, as explained in this New Mexico Exhibit E3, is to supply domestic water. That was how it apparently got started, to supply water to 20 homes, and then it expanded. But this saving of 2,000 acre-feet of water at the reservoirs will completely offset the effect of a Colorado diversion of 4,000 acre-feet at the river. The reason for that is mathematically very simple. It's based on testimony of New Mexico officials, uncontested testimony, uncontested evidence, that the losses from the reservoirs to the farm head gates are approximately one-third. The losses from the river to the farm head gates due to the system going through the reservoirs, the canal system from the river to the reservoirs, the losses there are approximately two-thirds. So that you can see 2,000 acre-feet with a one-third loss is equivalent to 4,000 acre-feet with a two-thirds loss. This extreme waste of this water in this method of supplying water to livestock over the entire period of the district's existence until last year did not even constitute under law a beneficial use, an existing loose use which should be recognized. The Jicarilla case, which we cite in our brief, dealt with a 93% loss, an incredible loss of water at the Elephant Butte Reservoir below the city of Albuquerque. The Tenth Circuit applied New Mexico law and found that that 93% loss did not constitute a beneficial use. This court, in this case, Justice O'Connor, has referred to the need for reasonable and beneficial use of a water right. In Washington versus Oregon, the court said, before they concluded that Oregon should have this water, said, we better look at this use and see if there's waste, and they look specifically. They use the words beneficial use. So here we have a conservation measure that's complete. The feasibility of it is proved. Now, the special master was completely correct in placing emphasis on water administration. Water administration is the key to water in the western states. It's the other half. A water right is one half, but it isn't worth anything, really, if there isn't water administration to back it up. And that's why the special master, an experienced judge, an experienced water attorney, really, who represented the state of Wyoming and Wyoming versus Colorado, one phase of that case. That's why he focused in all these respects on this matter of administration.
And Mr. Welburn, let's assume that the master was justified in finding that Colorado was entitled to some allocation out of the Vermejo. Now, as I understand the decree, it basically gives Colorado 4,000 acre-feet.
Yes, sir.
And how is that going to work, say, in a year like, if another year like 1974 comes along, which Table 2 to the master's report shows that the annual flow at the Dawson checkpoint was 3,040.
Well, the Colorado diversion, there are two or three factors there, Justice Rehnquist. The Colorado diversion would take place at a point within the Colorado production, which would mean that Colorado would take only approximately one half of its production, so that it would be only taking a half of the Colorado production, and as the special master found, only about a third or a fourth of the total Vermejo River production.
Well, but isn't the Dawson checkpoint made up largely of water that you would call the Colorado production?
Well, it is, yes, but it's made up also of water coming in below the border. And as I say, Colorado contributes roughly half to the total figure. For example, the New Mexico witness, Mr. Moots, testified that the Colorado production was approximately 5,500 acre feet a year on the average. And you relate that to the Dawson gauge with an average of some 11,000 acre feet a year.
But how about a year where the Dawson gauge says 3,040?
Well, in such a year from here on, Justice Rehnquist, the district will be completely protected for this reason. And it's the stock water situation, which is now, as a result of recent developments, come to fruition. But the district gave first priority, according to its own witness, Mr. Moots, in his testimony, gave first priority to the stock water. They saved water in their reservoirs. They released water from their reservoirs first for the stock water. They held water in the reservoirs as against irrigation uses so that they would have enough for the stock water usage, so that this conservation measure that has taken place would completely protect, as against the past situation, completely protect even in a low year. Now,
are you saying then that you think the record supports the fact that New Mexico's demand could be satisfied with 3,000 acre feet?
Well, I would suggest this, Justice Rehnquist. The district, and this gets to another point that has been made here, of course, deals entirely with reservoirs. And the district is entitled to take all of the water in the Vermejo River at its diversion point, and indeed has taken most of the water in the river during the 30-year period. So there haven't been significant spills from 1950 to 1979. The reservoir system of the district, as shown by New Mexico's own exhibits, allows the carryover of water from one year to the next. Now, at the last hearing in this case, Justice Weiss asked if there were a five-year period of low water, wouldn't that be a problem? And I suggest to you that first, again, I can't emphasize strongly enough these conservation measures that have been now perfected by the district. But even if there were a period of over 1 year of low flow, the district would not be suffering as compared with what it has in the past, because it has now conserved this water. Another element of conservation, as far as the district is concerned, is revealed in Exhibit 41, and the special master alludes to this. And that's the loss of water in its canals and in its lateral system. Exhibit 41 is a Bureau of Reclamation report on a meeting between state and district officials. And they were discussing, this was in the latter part of the 70s, they were discussing the possibility of administration on the Vermejo River, and specifically in the Vermejo Conservancy District. And they didn't go ahead with administration. But in that report, it is said that if there were administration, the district would have to be charged with waste as a result of the loss of water in its canals and laterals. The definite plan report put out by the Bureau before this thing got started showed their estimate was a loss of 25% in the canals and laterals.
Is that because they're not lined with concrete or something?
There is no particular testimony except that the silting in the canals and the debris that seems to collect in the canals. I don't think there's any requirement that they be lined with concrete.
Might be quite uneconomical.
No, I don't. There's no suggestion of that. And in this report, it's simply the matter of cleaning up the canals. But the district usage, which has been referred to earlier, and which the special master found was really basic, it's basically its average usage, is supported by the record. Mr. Sims suggests that the district was just getting going up to 1965, but as shown by New Mexico's own exhibit, which is at page 12 of the New Mexico's last brief, the year of highest irrigation was prior to 1965. Now, New Mexico, in its brief on remand, represented to the special master, this was after it was remanded to him for the additional findings, represented to the special master that the period prior to the 70s was a period of stable supply for irrigation, and those are New Mexico's very words in its brief. So the special master was eminently justified in noting in his additional findings that New Mexico contended that the period of the 70s was a drought period. He didn't necessarily accept that, but he noted that even prior to that period, the district didn't irrigate substantially more water. The average acres irrigated for the total period of the district operation was 4,379. For the 1960s, I think it was about 4,500, and for the 1950s, it was about 4,400. So that you can see.
But what about Mr. Sims' point that that their underutilization in the 60s or from 55 for 10 years was excusable because it was a period of development?
Well, I suggest, Justice White, that there wasn't, according to this table, this New Mexico exhibit, there wasn't any underutilization then as compared with the later period based on the acreage irrigated. There is an exhibit, a Bureau of Reclamation exhibit.
Well, let's assume that there was a good deal more water available than was being used after the district for the first 10 years after the district was rejuvenated, or whatever word is proper. Would there have been an excuse for the district not using it because of the fact that it was just being developed? That's Mr. Sims' point, as I understand.
During all this period, they were, as I say, giving preference to be sure they had at least 2,000 acre feet to release.
Well, I understand that, but assume that from 55 to 65 there was plenty of water for the court to meet the district's supposed demand, but they didn't use it. Now, that's what you're saying is the case. And Mr. Sims' response is, as I understand it, that the district was then in the period of development, so you couldn't, that's excusable.
Well, the record.
Is that his point?
I believe that's his point, but their own exhibit, which is on page 12 of their brief, shows they irrigated as much prior to 65 as they did after 65. And the Dawson gauge figures, and the Dawson gauge has been, it's been suggested that that's an average figure and so forth, but it gives monthly figures.
So from the time this grace period ended up until the drought period, they weren't irrigating any more than they did before.
No, they weren't appreciably. The total average was 4,379. The average for the 60s was, I think, around 4,500, and for the 50s was around 4,400. And the Dawson gauge figures, which are a real guide mark as to the water available to the district, because the district can take all of the water below the Dawson gauge, with the exception of the senior priorities of Phelps Dodge and those five people that take off the district canal. The testimony is that those diverters, which all of whom are senior to the district with the one exception of Mr. Porter, take about as much as the accretions from the Dawson, below the Dawson gauge to the district point of diversion. Considering the fact that the district has these reservoirs, that there were no appreciable spills past the district head gate in the 30-year period from 50 to 79 except in 2 years, considering that, the Dawson gauge figure is tells you what the district not only should have gotten, but what the district did get. Now, the Dawson gauge, the average for the 50s was something 9,900 acre feet a year. The average for the 60s was 11,000 acre feet per year. The average for the 70s was 8,000 acre feet per year. So you can see there isn't a great variation there.
Well, Mr. Wilbur, another point. Suppose that there's really a severe drought period, and I take it that as long as if Colorado wins this case, if there are 4,000 acre feet of water in the river in Colorado above at the point of your hoped for diversion, you'd get that 4,000 feet, no matter what the consequence was on lower river users. In short, you would never have to share the drought effect.
Well, if there were a drought,
is that right?
That's correct.
That's because there would be that much water.
Assumption that there were during a drought, there would be 4,000 acre feet at the diversion point.
Yes.
But if there were a drought, there wouldn't be 4,000 acre feet, I suggest, at the Colorado diversion point, because the everyone would share in the lower figure as well as the higher.
Well, how much water? I don't quite understand that. How much water, how much average water is in the Vermejo at your diversion point?
At the diversion point, the New Mexico testimony was that it is 3,360 acre feet a year on the average. The Colorado testimony was that it was 4,700 acre feet per
and
year.
And you would want to take 4,000 acre feet of that?
At the diversion point.
And leaving on the average 700 acre feet in the river.
That's right. At the diversion point.
I understand.
Then there's an accumulation in Colorado below the diversion point.
But right. In any event, as long as there's more than 4,000, well, whatever water is in the Vermejo at your diversion point, you can take 4,000 feet of it.
That's correct.
You can take it all if there's only 3,000.
That's correct. There's no, we don't deny that. We simply point out that with these conservation measures, and considering that Colorado would be taking only roughly one-fourth of the flow in the Vermejo River, another factor, as far as the district is concerned, there's no question but what these other diverters are going to get their water. The monthly figures at the Dawson Gauge show that. They're all senior to the district.
Well, but Mr. Welborn, you say you're only taking one-fourth of the flow in the Colorado River. That's fine, or in the Vermejo. That's fine in a year when they get 16,000. But 74 was the year where they didn't even get 4,000.
Well, I was going to get to the point, Justice Rehnquist, that the figures that the special master set forth in his report and his additional findings as to the amount of water coming to the district from other sources were about 45%. The district, in other words, gets about 35% of its water from the Chico Rico and 10% from creeks which flow into the district system, so that the water that the district gets from the Vermejo is only a little over half of its total supply. Those other sources, of course, would not be affected in any way by the Colorado diversion. But I wanted to suggest this again, that the diverters on the Vermejo other than the district would not be affected even in a low flow year, because they're all but one are irrigators, and the monthly figures at the Dawson Gauge even in low flow years show that there's sufficient water for that purpose.
Mr. Welborn, why did the master refuse to admit into evidence the recent USGS stream flow measurements so that there could be a clearer picture of the available water?
Well, I suggest that the special master very properly recognized that as being cumulative in a way of minor significance. New Mexico's Exhibit F-29 gave a 30-year picture of the spills at the Vermejo Conservancy District headgate. It showed that in only 2 years in a 30-year period were there significant spills. Now, the new evidence that New Mexico proposed to the special master covered the years 81 and 82. And that evidence, according to their offer of proof, would have shown more than 4,000 acre-feet of water spilling past the district head gate in each of those years. And that's particularly significant because that's more than the Colorado entitlement. And there they got the evidence in effect, because it's at page 50 of their brief, one of these charts. And it shows that on only one day in 1981 did the spills exceed the capacity of the district canal, 600 cubic feet per second. Now, Mr. Moots has testified that the district will start to spill at 450 cubic feet per second. But this evidence showed that the spills exceeded, or the amount of water there exceeded 450 cubic feet per second on only one day. So this was water that the district was entitled to take, and it could have taken, presumably, if its diversion system had been efficient, according to its own testimony. So I suggest that that's the basic reason that the special master didn't take that, the basic reason being that it was simply cumulative. It was a two-year period. We objected. We didn't object vehemently. We New Mexico said we screamed and hollered, but we didn't. We objected. We asked leave to present additional testimony, but it was we'd had 16 days of trial, many exhibits. It was clearly cumulative. The other two areas that they wanted to go into, one of them was this closed stock water system, and they put that in their brief on remand to the special master. There was just one factor there, and that was that the closed stock water system, really domestic water system, was completed. And there was no denying that.
Mr. Wilbur, what about Mr. Sims' argument that the special master's analysis, he just looked at the supply side and really didn't follow the water down the river to the district, didn't deal with the demand?
Well, the district demand, I suggest, is revealed particularly by the amount of acreage that the district irrigated, as shown by their own exhibit, by the fact that they chose to continue with this, wasting 2,000 acre-feet a year on this stock water business instead of using that for irrigation. The district picture, I suggest, Justice White, is a relaxed one. They chose, as shown, as I mentioned, by Exhibit 41, after a conference when the state officials said they would have to be charged with waste if there was administration, they chose apparently not to have administration. It was a relaxed situation. Much more than half of the people in the district of the farms were part-time farmers, absentee owners. This is discussed in detail in the Bureau documents, Exhibit 36, which the district witness testified was currently the situation. And it was just, I think this is what the special master concluded. It was a relaxed situation.
You're not suggesting that New Mexico water laws required to disallow water rights to part-time farmers, are you?
No, I'm suggesting that was the picture. I'm suggesting, though, that New Mexico water law is interpreted by the Jiquiria case and another case that's cited in that require beneficial and reasonable use of water. And the special master contrasted the New Mexico picture with the Colorado administration. And I suggest that this brings into play the Wyoming versus Colorado concept and the concept suggested in this case, that wasteful uses will not be protected and that each state has a duty to preserve the common supply. Now, in Colorado, as testified to by its state engineer, there is daily surveillance in the Arkansas River Division, Division 2, where this falls, the Purgatory Falls, of water diversions, of the amount of acreage irrigated. The Colorado statute specifically requires the state officials to shut down water if it's not being put to beneficial use, if it's being wasted. And this was the picture that the special master had. As said in, I believe it's Wyoming versus Colorado or Nebraska versus Wyoming, it's not what a state should do for the other state, but it's what a state...
Wasn't that all argued before when this case was here?
I beg your pardon?
Wasn't all of that argued before when the case was here?
The question of duty and so forth, yes, Justice Marshall,
wasn't that decided?
Yes, it was. And I'm relating it, Justice Marshall, to the question of conservation, which I believe is up here, and we felt that the pronouncements of this court regarding protecting wasteful practices were particularly relevant to this question of conservation. Now, there's another area that administration would have protected and dealt with that would have been a benefit to the Vermejo Conservancy District, and that is the overuse of water by other diverters. There was no administration and no surveillance, and these other diverters were senior, had senior priorities, and there weren't any records. The special master noted that because of the absence of administration, but the interesting thing was that when one measurement was made, as shown by a New Mexico exhibit A-130, the seepage run on the Vermejo, it showed the Phelps Dodge lessee irrigating after what New Mexico's own exhibit had said was the irrigation season after September 15th, and using an amount of water, 300 acre feet, which would have been equivalent to the total annual entitlement of that diverter. So that this is the sort of thing that could have been dealt with and would have been dealt with by proper administration, and certainly in Colorado. All of these factors, I suggest, are ones that the special master took into account. He noted also, and I would like to emphasize this in closing, the great benefits to Colorado in the purgatory, the fact that the city of Trinidad needed water, the city of Trinidad had put a moratorium on water taps, the fact that there was 29,000 acres of land, irrigated land or irrigable land in the Purgatory Valley, 19,000 in the district and 10,000 above the district that needed water. The water was needed for coal washery purposes, for industrial development. He put that together with the picture of water administration. One of the questions this court propounded was, would there be conservation in Colorado? And he concluded that there would be, because of the Colorado picture on water administration. So that the benefits to Colorado, it's our position, of course, that with conservation measures, dealing with the overuse, with the silting and the district canals, and particularly this conservation measure that's been completed with the domestic water system, which eliminates the 2,000 acre foot waste, it's our contention that there will be no harm to New Mexico resulting from the Colorado diversion. But if there should be, the special master eminently concluded that any such harm would be outweighed by these benefits to Colorado. And that, we feel, Justice Marshall, fits into both the concepts and, as I say, the principles that were announced in the last paragraph of the court's decision. Thank you very much.
Can I ask one question, Mr. Welborn? At the end of your brief, you suggest that maybe the decree should be rewritten in a couple of minor respects, or maybe they're not so minor. Did you take any exceptions to the master's report yourself?
No, we did not. We didn't consider that to be an exception, Justice Stevens. We felt that the main thrust of the special master's original report and his additional findings was that Colorado should have 4,000 acre feet of water a year. We suggest, and his report didn't specifically limit the Colorado points of diversion as being the points where this water should be taken, at or above those points. So we suggested that there be that limitation, that Colorado could not take anything below the points of diversion specified in the Colorado decree. and that along with that there be this 10-year running average, which is used in Nebraska versus Wyoming, for example, and also used in the Colorado River Compact.
Why won't that 10-year progressive average you suggest increase the divertible quantity to Colorado beyond the master's recommendation? Looks to me like it would.
Well, Justice O'Connor, if Colorado was specifically limited to the points of diversion in the Colorado decree, it could. You're absolutely right. If, however, Colorado is free to take water any place in Colorado, then it would be a corollary to the protection that would be given by limiting Colorado to these points of diversion.
Do you have anything further?
Yes. There is an extremely important point with regard to this 2,000 acre feet that Colorado has talked about a great deal being conserved from the closed pipeline that was put in by New Mexico users. Two very critical points. First of all, Colorado says that there is an Exhibit E3. That exhibit has in it a figure of 2,000 acre feet that could be saved if a closed stockwater pipeline were put in. You translate that 2,000 acre feet in the reservoirs of the Vermejo Conservancy District into 4,000 acre feet through all of the efficiency coefficients en route to 4,000 acre feet at the diversion points in Colorado. As a matter of fact, that 2,000 figure is 2,145. It was estimated in that exhibit by taking the month of November, finding out how much water was released then after the irrigation season was over and when all of the canals were dry, and multiplying it by 9. You get a very inflated figure designed to support this project. The fact of the matter is, and according to the unimpeached testimony of Colorado, if you look at their table 4 of their exhibit number 6, the average amount of water released during the period of the life of the district has been 790 acre feet, not 2,000 acre feet. That is Colorado's testimony. That is based on Colorado's discussions with the people that manage the Vermejo Conservancy District. The special master never looked at that exhibit.
How much had been diverted to the stockwater system?
Or no.
How much might be saved by a closed system?
He did not. He made no specific finding in that regard. But Colorado is arguing that this one measure, and it's the only one they can point to, is going to offset the new diversion in Colorado. To do that, he has to be correct. Colorado has to be correct that it's going to make 4,000 acre feet in Colorado. It won't. 790 acre feet diversion on the average. And bear in mind, this was because that's what the Bureau of Reclamation gave the users.
How much water upstream would 790?
1,500 acre feet.
So you agree with his formula?
We would agree that. No, we don't agree with that methodology, but utilizing Colorado's methodology and backing up the river, you would have an offset only of 1,500 acre feet. What that nets out to be is cutting into the New Mexico uses, not only the ones we already threw out, half of the entitlement, now you cut into the ones that are left by an additional 2,500 acre feet.
May I ask, you say that the 2,000 figure should really be 790 feet.
That's correct, and that's
Colorado's. What is your view of the correct ratio if you don't accept their two-for-one figure?
Justice Stevens, I don't think I can answer that without the help of an engineer.
Larger than 790, though?
No, the figure would be about the same. We agree with the 790 figure. The only difference is how you translate that 790 at the reservoir.
You take the position that 790 feet saved down at the reservoir is the equivalent of 790 feet diverted up in Colorado?
No, it's the equivalent of somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 acre feet.
So you do then agree with their two-for-one ratio. If I understand, maybe I misunderstand this argument.
We don't exactly agree with it. There's no dispute over it insofar as this point is concerned.
Thank you.
Secondly, the conservation measure that's being discussed was undertaken long before this litigation began. It was undertaken because the water users themselves recognized that what the Bureau of Reclamation gave them to work with wasn't very good. And they worked awfully hard to put together the money. They went to every state and federal agency you can conceive of to get that money. They finally put the package together and built the system. It seems to me that the question is not whether CF&I should vicariously be awarded the benefits of their labors, but rather whether this court is going to protect the kind of conservation measure, ongoing conservation measure, that it is said the states on an interstate stream are obliged to do.
Well, a conservation, you don't suggest, I'm sure, that a conservation measure would increase your water allocation.
No, what the evidence shows without contradiction, and it's the evidence of the Bureau of Reclamation, it's the evidence of the USGS, the evidence shows that there is no economically or physically feasible conservation measure, any further ones, available in New Mexico. We have the ultimate conservation measure down at the bottom of the Canadian system. There are two major reservoirs down there that impound nearly 500,000 acre-feet of water. The Vermejo dumps into that. Now, Colorado would have you believe that the river channel that runs from the point of diversion at the Vermejo Conservancy District down into Conscious Reservoir doesn't exist.
Oh, but do you, is part of your argument that that the uses of Vermejo water in the Canadian River should prevent an allocation to Colorado?
Those uses have to be thrown out entirely,
yes,
in order to reach the conclusion of no injury.
Well, I understand that, but that doesn't answer my question.
Justice White, they, along with the 4,000 acres that you would throw out, along with the additional undercutting of New Mexico uses by 2,500 acre feet, plus the 13% shortage of the Canadian River users and their historic reliance on the Vermejo, yes,
well, they
all add up.
They may have a historic reliance, but that's only because there's water running past the district.
That's correct.
And yet the Vermejo is completely adjudicated.
It is completely adjudicated, but there are spills, mm-hmm, and they get down there frequently, mm-hmm, as the USGS data show. If you look at the entire period of record and not the mean daily flows on the exhibit to which Mr. Wellborn has referred you to, you'll find an average flowing past that diversion point of 7,700 acre feet, mm-hmm, over the long haul. That's a lot of water getting down to the Canadian River.
That includes the flood periods and everything.
Yes, that is essentially flood flow.
Yes.
One final point. Even if the court were to buy everything that the master did, which we believe is patently incorrect because he never compared demand to supply and because he never identified a conservation measure, he has not shown you one reason, either in law or in equity, why priority should be varied, even if Colorado were to be awarded the water. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted. We'll hear arguments next in aluminum.